The word peace is found some 419 times in your Bible. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you have any of it? It's found 419 times. Do you have peace? Right now, in your life, have you got peace? You see, when it comes to living in the world, there's not a whole lot of peace to be offered. This morning, I want us to think about those verses that Brandon read from John 14 and verse 27 and John 16 and verse 33. And recognize, particularly in John 16 and verse 33, that Jesus contrasts two different lives. That Jesus contrasts two different sources of peace. One that he says is in him, but he says there's another peace in the world. Do you know what the world has to offer you this morning? If you were to start going through your Bible, if you were to pick up a concordance this afternoon, and if you were to look up every one of those 419 times that you find the word peace in your Bible, here are some things that your Bible will contrast peace with. And here are some things that the Bible will say that the world offers you if you don't have peace. Any of these overly appealing? Affliction, anger, betrayal, conflict, calamity, death, deceit, destruction, disorder, enmity, fear, hostility, injustice, loss, mourning and bewailing and bemoaning. There's three adjectives used in Jeremiah chapter 16. Opposition, seduction, stumbling, terror, tribulation, troubles, turmoil, and war. Now, isn't that just exciting? To think about what the world has to offer us. These are not just random ideas. These are not just flip through the Bible and find the worst things that can be found. These are found in the very same passages where the Bible talks about peace. God says, oh, but there's another side to that. And if you don't choose to go down the path of peace, then here are some things that are available to you. What sort of solutions does the world have for this? What sort of peace does the world offer to us to fix these things? Because nobody in this world likes affliction. Nobody in this world likes turmoil. Nobody in this world likes hostility. So what does the world offer to us to soothe these woes? What does the world say we need in order to fix these problems? Jesus says in John chapter 16 and verse 33 that the world is going to offer you something, but what we need to know this morning is that the peace that the world is going to offer you today is a false peace. There's nothing real about it. There's nothing true about it. There's nothing long-lasting about it because it's a peace that comes directly from the devil. You know what kind of peace the devil offers to you? It is a peace that the Bible says is a defective peace. Because instead of coming from God, it comes from the world. The Bible says this is not only a defective peace, it is a deceptive peace. Twice in the book of Jeremiah, the Bible says that they would go crying out saying, peace, peace. And God says, but there is no peace. It's deceptive. It is destructive. There were those when Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 who were going about crying peace and safety, but Paul says then sudden destruction comes upon them. In this world there is no such thing as true peace. It's defective. It's deceptive. It's destructive. It's delusive. They go seeking peace. And it's like a mirage. Oh, I think I see it over there. Oh, I think it. I see it over there. It's delusive. They seek peace. But the Bible says there's no peace to be found. If you start thinking about it long enough, this kind of peace that the world offers is depressive. Because the Bible plainly says there is no peace for the wicked. 419 times the Bible talks about peace. I asked you at the beginning, you got that? Do you have peace in your life? Do you have peace in your home? Do you have peace in your heart? Where can we get true peace? Look in John 16 and verse 33. In John 16 and verse 33, Jesus says, I have spoken these things to you that in me, there's not another place, that in me you may have peace. The world offers so many different things that are so appealing. But Jesus says that there is only one place that you can have peace. And the way that he designates this peace in John chapter 14 and verse 27, look in chapter 14 and verse 27, where Jesus first says, peace I leave with you. Oh, that's not such a big deal, Jesus. If Jesus had stopped his whole statement there, if Jesus had just said, peace I leave with you, and then had left, in the minds of these disciples, they could have gone back to those Old Testament passages where they said, yes, but the Bible says peace, peace, but there is no peace. Jesus, you're saying you're leaving me peace, but the Old Testament said that we're going to seek peace and we're not going to be able to find it. But look in John 14 and verse 27, where Jesus says, peace I leave with you, but not just any ordinary peace. It's my peace. It's the peace that Paul calls, and we read over this quickly, but it's the peace that Paul calls the peace of God. Do you have peace? Do you have peace in your heart and in your life? Where does true peace come from? Where is it derived from? In the Bible calls God the God of peace, the Lord of peace, the author of peace. It calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. If you go over to Judges chapter 6, Judges chapter 6, God is intervening with Gideon and trying to show Gideon that he has been chosen by the Lord. So the Lord presents to Gideon, if you know the story, a series of events to prove beyond doubt to Gideon that it is God who has called him. And on one occasion, the God sends the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord sends out fire, and it consumes that which Gideon had laid upon the altar. And in Judges chapter 6 and verse 23, Gideon is afraid. And God comes to Gideon in Judges 6 and verse 23 and says, don't you be afraid. Peace be unto you. The Bible says in Judges 6 and verse 24 that Gideon built an altar at that place. Gideon built an altar at the place where God had shown himself to Gideon, where God had presented his power unto him, where God had said to Gideon, peace be unto you, do not be afraid. Gideon built an altar there, and you know what he called that altar? Jehovah Shalom. He gave a name to that altar and he named it, the Lord is peace. Where do you get your peace? If you're going to any other source to find peace in this world, it's not going to last. It's going to be that peace that is defective, deceptive, and destructive. But when we come to the peace that comes from the author of peace, I want you to see that the Bible shows us just how far that peace will go in our lives. Philippians chapter 4. You know the verse in verse 7. Where the Bible promises to Christians in Philippians 4 and verse 7, a surpassing all understanding peace. How big is the peace of God? How far does the peace of God stretch? How deep can the peace of God go in your life? You can't even fathom how far it will go. The Bible describes God's peace as a perfect peace, as an abundant peace. The Bible describes God's peace as a peace in Romans chapter 15 that will fill us up. The kids sing a song that says, I've got peace like a river. We didn't make those words up. Those are the words from Isaiah, where God came to Isaiah and he said in Isaiah 66 verse 12, I'm going to extend to my people a peace that extends like a river. Do you have peace? Do you have peace that's like a river that just keeps going and going and going? Do you have a peace that is an abiding and continual peace that is promised to us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1? Do you have that peace that's talked about, Paul mentioned at the end of his letter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where he says, may the God of peace give you always in every way peace. Is that what you have? Is that what you have in your heart? I know that the world wants to drag you down. I know that the devil is trying to trip you up. I know that Satan is out there like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Do you have the peace of God in your heart? I want us to spend the rest of this lesson looking at what the Bible says that this peace can do for us. We saw at the beginning what the world offers to us, and the fact that the world doesn't have a solution for that peace. But what is it that the peace of God, what kind of blessings can the peace of God bring into my life? Contrast these things with those things that we looked at the beginning of the lesson. God offers to you these blessings, but they only come about through His peace. God offers to you good tidings and safe dwelling. God offers to you rest and quietness. And by the way, there is not an exception clause there put for parents of toddlers and of infants. It's not talking about that kind of physical rest and silence. Sorry, Jason. You got to deal with those sleepless nights. But there is the peace of God that gives you a spiritual rest and silence and quietness and stillness of heart that brings a calm over you, that brings a sense of true security, not of abandonment, not of hopelessness, but of a sense of true security into your heart. The peace of God will help to bring into your life a sense of healing. And again, we're not talking physically, we're talking in the spiritual realm, where God offers to us His strength, offers unto us His unity and His reconciliation. With the peace of God, the Bible says, comes gentleness and humility. The Bible says that coming with the peace of God and linked to it is sanctification, is justice, is the mercy of God, is good cheer, is edification. And these are just words to us, perhaps. These are just concepts to us. But when you think about your day-to-day life, how much peace is there in your heart? When you think about your day-to-day life, is it full of anxiety? Is it full of affliction? Is it full of those things that God contrasts with peace, or is it full of stillness? You know, in Psalm 46 begins by proclaiming that we need to put our trust in God. That God is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. And then you get to verse 10 of Psalm 46, and it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Do you have those moments in your day where you listen to those words and you say, I need to be still. I need to get away. I need some rest. I need some peace and calm in my life. Not because of the children. Not because of the husband. Not because of circumstances. But because I need to draw closer to my Lord. How often do we take time to be still and to know that God is God? You see, having the peace of God, as this last point says, having the peace of God does not mean that you're not ever going to have any problems anymore. Doesn't mean you're not going to have any more. If I've got the peace of God, no more troubles for me. If I've got the peace of God, no bankruptcy for me. Peace of God, you know, it'll keep me out of bankruptcy. That's not the way it works. You know, well, I've got the peace of God. No more tribulation in my life. No more trials. All the bad things are going to disappear. That's not the way it works. Look in John 16 and verse 33. Where Jesus says, "In me, what do you have? You have peace." But what does he say in the very next sentence of John 6 and verse 33? "In the world, you have tribulation." How many of us are living outside of this world? It's not possible. We live inside this world, and as the very nature of this life goes, there is trouble and tribulation. But God says there is a peace that can come, where Jesus says, "Don't you worry. Be of good cheer," the end of verse 33, "I have overcome the world." When you look at your life today, do you have the peace, not that the world offers, do you have the peace that God offers? Do you have these blessings being brought into your heart, into your life, and into your home? How does it work? What does the peace of God do for me? Isaiah 52 says, "The peace of God shows me that I'm not in control." If the peace of God is in control in your life, you learn that you are not the one who's running things. How is it? How is it that you can go through family strife? How is it that you can go through, Linda Studer mentioned this morning, a family who the mother went into labor just this last week. The baby was stillborn, and they had no anticipation that was going to happen. How can you live with those kind of circumstances and have peace? How can you go through your week and your day knowing that perhaps you might be the next one who is downsized or cut at your job, and yet go through that day in peace? In a prophetic way, in the book of Isaiah, the Bible says we can live in such a way knowing that we can say, "It's God who reigns, not me. Let God be in control of my life." And when we take all of those things that we saw on that first slide that the world offers to us, we say, "How am I supposed to overcome this?" Jesus says, "Don't you worry. I've already overcome that. I've already overcome the world. Just reside in my peace and reside and say God is in control." And when you do that, you will have a peace that will guard your hearts and your minds. How does it do that? How does the peace of God come and put up a wall around your heart and your mind? I don't know. That's why that verse says it surpasses all understanding and it guards your hearts and your minds. The peace of God will come and it will rule in your heart. The word rule here comes from a word that we use for being a referee, for being an umpire. There's somebody who's in charge. There's somebody who's making the rules. There's somebody who's following the rules. There is someone who is controlling the things that are happening on the field. That's the referee. Who's controlling the things happening on your field? Who is it who is ruling in your heart? If you allow God to, Colossians 3 and verse 15 says, let the peace of God rule. Referee, umpire, be in charge in your heart. You know, there's a lot of things about this life we don't understand. There's a lot of things about this life that bring us down. But the Bible says that with God in control, we have nothing to fear. God's peace preserves unity in our lives. God's peace will complete us. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. I want us to look at two more passages before we finish today. I want you to look at the closing verses of Hebrews chapter 13. And look at the peace that God talks about in those last verses that are promised to you and to me. Where he calls God in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, now may the God of peace, that's who we serve, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may the God of peace make you complete in every good work to do His will. The peace of God can complete you in such a way that you can go and do the work of God in a way that you were never able to do before. Is there something holding you back from doing God's will today? Is there some trouble of life? Is there some trial in your life that's saying, you know, I'm just not ready to give my all unto the Lord yet? The Bible says that the God of peace can come and make you complete in order that you might be able to serve Him. The Bible says that the peace of God comes and forgives my sins. In that great passage from Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible says that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. Our peace is only possible through the death of Christ. Through the forgiveness of sins that He offers us upon the cross, the peace of Christ comes and is ready to sow fruit of righteousness in our hearts. Are you having a hard time doing what's right? Are you having a hard time making decisions between right and wrong? Then let the peace of God come and rule in your heart. Stop trying to be the one who's in charge. Stop trying to be the one who's pleasing the world. Stop trying to be the one who's molded and shaped and conformed to the world. Allow the peace of God to rule in your heart. And the Bible says that peace will sow righteousness in its behavior. What does the peace of God do for you? What does it do in your life? Hebrews chapter 12 says it prepares you to see God. Pursue holiness and pursue peace. Because the Bible says without which you won't see God. How do you know? How do you know if you have His peace? Is it a feeling that you get? Is it kind of a tingling feeling that you, oh, that must be the peace of God working in me? Is it an emotional pull that you get? Is it not until you start crying, oh, that must be the peace of God? How do you know? Your emotions won't tell you. Your tingling won't tell you. You might just be hungry. You might just have a stomach ache. How do you know if it's the peace of God that's working in your life. First thing we need to see is that the Bible does say that there is the way of peace. It's not multiple ways to gain the peace of God. There are not multiple paths upon which we can tread to find this peace. There is the way, and it is a way that can be known. The Bible says that the peace of God is only given to His children. If you are not a child of God this morning, if you are not a Christian this morning, then the Bible indicates that the peace of God cannot be ruling in your life. Because that great, abundant, extending like a river peace is only given by God to His people. Are you a Christian this morning? You know, the world, songs we sing sometimes says, the world has nothing left to give. It has no new, no pure delight. Oh, try the life which Christians live. Are you trying the life that Christians live? There's something different about a child of God. There's something different about the way a child of God faces adversity in his life. It still hurts. It still brings us to tears. It still brings us to our knees. But there is a peace that surpasses all understanding, that guards the heart and life of a child of God, that helps that Christian to get back up. Because God extends that peace to those who are in His presence. When a child of God is hurting, he's not hurting by himself. When a child of God is going through adversity, he's not facing that by himself. When a child of God is dealing with the death of a loved one, he is not dealing with that by himself, because the Bible says, "My peace I give unto you." And then it says, "May the God of peace be with you." Is the God of peace with you? Is He your Father? Are you His child? As you look at your relationship with God, if you want to know, do I have the peace of God? The Bible says that the kingdom of God is peace. Are you in the kingdom of God? If you are not in the kingdom of God, then you cannot be a recipient of the peace that surpasses all understanding. Are you in the kingdom? Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 5, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Have you been born of the water and the Spirit? Have you been baptized into Christ? When you're baptized into Christ, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says you put on Christ. Remember what Isaiah said about Christ? If you put on Christ, Galatians 3:27, you put on the Prince of Peace. And then you allow the peace of Christ to rule in your hearts. And that peace of God comes and encamps around you and guards your heart and your life, but only if you are in Christ. Go back to John chapter 16 and verse 33, where Jesus says, "In me you have peace." You cannot have the peace of God if you're outside of Christ this morning. You cannot have the peace of God if you're outside the kingdom of Christ this morning. You cannot have the peace of God if you're outside His family. If you don't belong to God, then you're not dwelling in His presence. You're not dwelling in His peace. The Bible says, in order to know that I have the peace of God, then I need to be one who has been reconciled to Christ. The other passage I want us to look at is over in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, God described there what Jesus did upon the cross for us. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says that Jesus is Himself our peace. He took those people who were once hostile towards each other, and He made them one through His death upon the cross. He is our peace in verse 14. In verse 15, it says that Jesus came and He made peace for us. Look in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, where the Bible says that Jesus reconciled these people back to God through the cross. When Jesus died upon the cross, He shed His blood for you and for me, that we might be reconciled back to God through the blood that He shed, that it might wash away our sins. Has the blood of Jesus ever washed away your sins? If the blood of Jesus has never washed away your sins, then you are not experiencing the peace of God. If you still have your sins and the blood of Jesus has never washed away those sins, and Romans chapter 6 says that it's in baptism where those sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. If you've never been baptized to have your sins washed away, then the peace of God cannot be ruling in your hearts this morning. Have you been reconciled to God? Have you been made right with our Lord? Have you obeyed the gospel? In Romans chapter 10, the Bible says that there is that gospel of peace that is being preached. And the Bible says it's that gospel of peace that we must obey in order to possess and to experience and to enjoy that peace. Where are you this morning? Are you at peace? When you leave this building this morning, do you know? Do you know that you're going to heaven? Are you at peace knowing that you are a child of God, that you're in the kingdom of God, that you are a part of the family of God, that you have been baptized into Christ, into the Prince of Peace? Do you know that that peace is yours? 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says that when we think about the second coming of our Lord, that we need to look for His coming with anticipation, with joy, but that we need to look for it in peace. If Jesus were to come back in 5 minutes, if Jesus were to come back in 5 minutes, would you be full of anxiety? Would you be full of dread? Or at His appearing, would you be full of peace? 419 times the Bible talks about peace. Do you have any? Do you have His peace? If we can help you in your walk with the Lord this morning, why don't you come as together we stand and sing.